I've actually known of our speaker tonight for as long as I've been alive, or as long as I've had conscious thoughts. Her mother and my mother were close friends, and so we've kind of known of each other. I haven't known her very well personally until the magic of AA showed up. We actually got reacquainted through this group, and I'm very much interested to hear tonight about those years that we lost in the middle. And I do want to tell you, I'm very excited to have someone here tonight who brings with her half the audience. So this, I think, is a tremendous sign of some of the benefits of recovery, that we have people who care and support us. And so it's my great pleasure to introduce you to Laura.
I'm Laura, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 10th, 2004, and my home group is the Gut Level Group in Springville. You know, I did know Bill, his mother babysat us when I was growing up, and I was thinking about that today. He's quite a bit younger than I am. But, you know, never once, we played a lot of games, rode bikes, you know, did all that kind of stuff, and I thought, we never played that game where, do you want to be an alcoholic, you know, did we? No. That was not one of the games we played. And I didn't think I was going to grow up to be an alcoholic either. I grew up in Tulare and in the Visalia area, and went to school there, and felt a little different. My mother had a nervous breakdown when I was in the seventh grade, and she was in a coma for 2 years. And that's kind of during the time when your mother does a lot of stuff with you or whatever. And I don't blame her now, but I did at the time. And my grandmother came in and raised us. And I'm also from a family that if they don't admit anything's going on, then it's not going on. So I really didn't know what had happened to my mother. I just knew she wasn't there. So that made me feel a little different or uncomfortable. And in high school, I hung out with kids that really didn't want to go to school that much because we were too cool. And so we would drink. We drink on the weekends, sometimes before school. I got married my first time when I was 19 years old. I had the same boyfriend through most of high school, and we broke up, and I started going to parties and becoming very wild, and so my mother thought it would be a good idea if I got married. Well, I did too, because I thought he'll give me whatever I want and I could stay out as late as I want. And so we got married, and that lasted like 3 months. And I decided I could go get my own apartment and stay out and drink as much as I wanted. And my second marriage, well, that guy, he partied as much as I did. We had that in common. And it turned violent. And I really, you know, I drank a lot back then. I couldn't tell you. I probably didn't love him in the first place, and I didn't have it in me to give to anybody. My drinking, I was a very fearful person, and when I drank, I could make the negative thoughts in my head, the negative things that I was thinking, all the stuff that I couldn't or thought I could be, I could make that go away when I drank. I could be smarter, prettier, the boys liked me better, I could be the center of attention. And as my drinking progressed, I could do whatever the F I wanted because I was drinking. Sorry, I don't remember if I was drinking. And it was okay. And that led me to probably my third marriage. And that happened right over here at El Presidente, of all places. It was Dollar Tequila Night on Thursdays. I don't know if they have it anymore. I don't know. And You know that man, he was in there because he'd just gotten out of a baseball game. They occasionally went there. I was there every Thursday through Sunday. And we happened to run into each other. I wanted somebody to save me. I knew that things were not going well in my life. I was barely hanging on to a job. He had a great job with a lot of money, and he was 10 years older than me. And I told him, I said, you know, I've got these few problems. And he said, don't worry about it. We'll get married, and I'll take care of you. And I was like, well, this is just perfect. And so I was in love. And I really did love him. I really did. But I couldn't quit drinking. And bless his heart, he'd have to go to work, so he couldn't watch me 24/7. And I would drink while he was at work, and there would come times where I would black out or not come home at all. And he would say, why are you acting like this? You know, and so I would promise never to drink again. Or, and that would last for like 2 months. And you know, we neither one of us knew what an alcoholic was. And my idea of an alcoholic was an L.A. person in the gutter that pissed in their pants, that didn't have a home and had no family, and nobody wanted to be by him, and they had a cardboard box, and they only drank Thunderbird. Which I ended up drinking, by the way. So we didn't think I was that. And I would go 2 and 3 months without drinking. Well, I probably really didn't, but in my head I told myself that. I probably only went like a week or so, just didn't drink that much. And the thing was, I could drink sometimes and everything would be okay. You know, we'd go out, we'd go dancing, we'd have dinner, and things would be all right. And then there would be that time where I'd only have 2 beers, and I stayed up for 9 hours, and I don't remember any of it, but all of his stuff is packed out on the front porch, and he's leaving me, and I don't know what I said or did. And this went on for about 3 years, and finally, after not having drank for 6 months, we decided to go on vacation, and we went wine tasting. Because I did sober for 6 months. I don't have a problem. That ended the marriage. I don't remember much of that trip. When that marriage ended, I felt free to go do whatever I wanted to do. As far as I told myself, I'm poor me, he's left me. And that's when my drinking really took up. And I've got to say this. When I first started drinking, my drinking did work. I mean, I wasn't always in trouble. I wasn't always blacking out. There were those few times. But it wasn't always like that. And I could go to work. I'd make it to work on time. And I was able to keep some of the commitments as long as I didn't have a really bad hangover. And so I thought that worked real well. And it didn't occur to me that things would probably work even better for me if I didn't drink at all. That just never occurred to me. And so I couldn't see it when my drinking went out of control and bit me in the ass. What I knew was this had worked since I was 17 or 18 years old. And now I'm in my 30s. And I'm thinking I just maybe need to drink more. But, you know, that's what it's got to be. And so I added other substances to my drinking. And the reason I bring those up is because that's what I got in trouble for. But my main problem is alcohol. I never thought I would ever give alcohol up. But I continue to run wild out there. And the thing that happens for me is when I'm running with people that drink all night like I did, and they do drugs to stay up all night to drink more, well, those same people aren't the people that hold down jobs and are paying their bills on time and are contributing people to society. They're people like me that call in sick all the time, and I pay every peep notice maybe that comes in, and I'm thinking, well, I can really do without the gas, and I'll keep the electricity. And so the people that I was hanging around with were like me, and my life got worse. And then there came that day where I went to jail. I got a felony for drugs. And my family did not know what to think. Nobody in my family had been in trouble before. This was the most embarrassing thing that had happened to me, I thought, at that time. And they didn't get me out. And the judge ordered me to do something called Prop 36. And I got to tell you that something that I thought was the worst day of my life ended up being the best day of my life. I'd like to tell you that when I got out of jail, I stayed sober. I didn't. I went right to drinking that same night because I didn't know how to stop. I had no program. I'd never been in an AA meeting, and I knew I couldn't do it on my own. I went to a transitional house, and I've met some of the girls here tonight from the transitional house. And power to you, because that's not an easy thing to do, to go in there. It's scary, but it's the best thing that I ever did. I got a foundation there going to meetings. I was showing how to work steps. I stayed in the transitional house for about a year. And during the time of my stay there, after 3 months, I hang out with the same people in the meetings that I was going to that drank, because I wasn't willing to give them up. And I drank. And this is the way the psychic change in my mind works. I had 2 drinks, and I decided that I would get in a fight with the person I was there and go find my drug dealer and go drink all night, and I didn't need this AA stuff. And I caught myself thinking that. And I thought, I don't want to go back to that life, because the life I had was hopeless. It was devastating. It was crippling. Emotionally, I was tore up. Physically, I was tore up. I had lost my teeth, my weight. I was destroyed, and I didn't know how to stop it. And so I made a decision right then and there that I was going to give this program 100%. Because I just didn't have anything else to lose. I could have went to prison again, or not, I could have went to prison, I hadn't been there yet, or I was going to die. And so I did, I stuck. And my first sponsor that I had worked steps with me, and she'd call and she'd ask me, are you ready to do the 4-step? And I'd say, yeah, I'm almost there. And she'd call me again and she'd say, well, how far along are you? I said, well, I've got a few more things to do. And bless her heart, she's the sweetest little lady. She was like in her 60s and she looked really nice and like only 100 pounds like your grandma. And I thought, ooh, she's going to be a little pushover. Oh, she was a little AA naughty. She gave me a certain date to have that thing done by. And then when I didn't show up at her house, she came and got me. And I didn't have none of it then, so she made me sit at the table and do it at her table. Because she knew me, because she had been there before, because she was like me. That's what happened. Getting a higher power is something that I didn't ever have in my life, and I wasn't sure what a higher power was. I knew I had a punishing God. I knew I had a God that I said, please get me out of jail, please get me out of debt, please get me a husband. And none of those things would really happen for me. My sponsor now, Susan, has told me, if you don't have one, just believe that I believe. And my higher power came slowly. Some people maybe it comes quickly. Mine came slowly because I thought all these coincidences were happening to me. Wow, is that cool? That's a coincidence, huh? Going to school and graduating, is that a coincidence? My job gave me a raise, isn't that a coincidence? It wasn't. It was a higher power. I'm sober because of my higher power. Because he saved me, he intervened in my life. So my conception of a higher power is something that I get slowly, and I get it in meetings. When you're talking up here, the language of the heart is talking to my heart. It's touching me. It's helping to keep me sober. I stay sober by talking to my sponsor. We've worked all the steps. We're going to work them again. You know, it's not a one-time shot. I'm not real good about reading the big book on my own. So one of the things I do is go to meetings, and I go to a book study. And I get feedback there on how other people work the steps in their life. And that helps. I have a sponsor that's going to celebrate 6 months that has brought me a lot of joy working the steps with her, getting to see her higher power work in her. Has helped me to recognize a higher power. I have some serenity today where I actually just sit there and I'm happy. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be sober. I was never comfortable with myself before that. Always had to be doing something or dulling that pain. I have friends in my life that show up that love me unconditionally, that I can call on day or night. I had to let go of those old friends out there. When they come in here, I'm always glad to see them, and I love them. But I had to let go, because for me, I couldn't stay sober while they were still drinking. It wasn't possible. When I decided to admit I was powerless, I also decided to start a new way of life. And the only way to do that was to come in here and start meeting people. I'm grateful for all my friends. I really am. Thank you for showing up tonight. My mind's starting to go blank. If you're new and you're scared, just admit you're new. If you're new and you want help, raise your hand at a meeting and say, I'm new, I'm scared, and I need help. And I can guarantee you these women will be on you like white on rice. They will. They're like that. I didn't like women real well when I came into the program. I could get along with them to a point, but I didn't like them real well. And now I can't beat them off me. I created a bond. By creating a bond with them, I was able to create a bond with other people. By learning to trust them, I was able to trust myself. My friend Bob is here. One of the things I've done in my sobriety is go skydiving. People thought I was crazy to do that, but that was something I always wanted to do, and I've done it twice. I've got one more jump, and I can do it solo after that. But that was something I wanted to do. That was something that wasn't going to be possible when I was drinking, because I'd been too hungover to get up that morning to put that parachute on. I can keep commitments. You know, in the old days, I used to say I was going to show up, and I didn't show up. You know, before when I was telling you about what I thought an alcoholic was, a bum out there drinking, and, oh, that's the recorder, out there drinking and bumming and stealing, I did the same thing. The only difference is I went to my family and I bummed money off them, and I got money and I got food, and I took out of their house whatever I thought would look better in my house because they were my relatives. So I was really, there was not a difference there, but I didn't see that till later on. I have a good relationship with my brother now. I didn't have that before. I think I'm going to stop there and tell you that I'm grateful that all of you are here and in my life. I thank my higher power. And may God smile on you and keep you close. Thank you.
So, Laura. Laura has agreed to take some questions. So if you have some questions, we'd be happy to stump the drunk.
You know, service is a good thing to get into right away. I am in service. I am the secretary of my home group. It took me a couple years to do that, but I did, within my first year, become a waitress up at the Springville Breakfast. However, I understand and I listen to a lot of women and men in the meetings, and when you become active in service, that keeps you centered in the middle of AA. And you have a commitment that you have to be there, so it helps your sobriety. It helps you to stay sober. Yes, in the blue. How long have I been saved? About 2 years. You're from Springville, too. Good. Get my number after the thing, and we'll talk. Yes. Actually, my family did not support me in my sobriety. My family wanted nothing more to do with me. And when I was in the transitional house, they thought it was a good idea if I went and made men amends. I drove to Bakersfield to my brother's to make amends, and he did not accept them. I thought I was going to be devastated. But it turned around in God's time. I have become very close to him. He's left my nephew with me while he's went out of the country for weeks at a time. It did turn around, but it took a couple years. Yes. I have a guy named Warren in my college class because I prayed for patience and tolerance. That's the only pain in my butt. I didn't pray hard enough for that, so no, I don't have children. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say at first I used the drugs to drink the alcohol more, but I'm the kind of alcoholic and addict that whatever numbs the pain, whatever I can get my hands on, works for me. Yes. Are you kidding? Isn't three enough? No, sweetie, I'm not married. I've been divorced for over 10 years, and I had a boyfriend in the second year of my sobriety, but I've remained single. We're just good friends now. Yes. Mm-hmm. My higher power. My higher power, and one of the things I'm really grateful in my sobriety for is my laughter. I don't know about you guys, but there was nothing funny when I was drinking. It was all about where was I going to get my next drink, who was going to get my next drink. If there was any kind of laughter, it was just like, ha ha, laugh at your joke, buy me another drink now. You know, if it was that kind. I had genuine laughter today. Yes. Did I like the person? Did I like the person before? You know what I told people I liked that person? I could not look at that person in the mirror. It was just a game. And it was, if I let you see my weakness, you can exploit it. So no, I didn't like that person, but I wouldn't tell you that I did. Do I like the person I am today? Most of the time. I'm learning. I didn't know myself. I spent a lot of years medicating with alcohol, so I'm learning to like myself, yeah. I would never change what I went through because in order for me to stand up here and give you this message, I had to go through that. Yes. That's awesome. It's one of the things I was able to do in my sobriety. I wouldn't have been able to do it when I was out there drinking. It really doesn't, you know, it was the ultimate rush. And there are times in this program where you get that ultimate rush of gratitude for something that happens in your life. I can relate it to that. Yeah. The alcohol. When I relapsed, it was on alcohol. It was always my first love. Drugs were not easy to get off of. I know this is an alcohol program, but drugs were not easy to get off of. But I was tested for those for a year. So alcohol was easier for me to get away with, if I was going to get away with anything. Yes, it definitely is. I have a lot of friends that are in healthy and stable relationships. They do recommend that you stay at it. Actually, no, I don't. You will find a relationship. You guys are making that sound bad. Yes, it is possible. They do recommend that you stay out of one if you're not in one for the first year. If you're already in one, to give you a year to change. It's possible to do that. You know, with sobriety, girlfriend, anything is possible. Okay? Okay, I'm seeing. Prayer and meditation life. Well, I read the language of letting go, which I got for me and I got for my sponsee, so we could discuss the verses. She discusses them more than I do. My prayer is, thy will be done. And I always, every morning and every night, thank God for a clean and sober day. When I'm feeling real nervous or anxious, a lot of times I'll get down on my knees and pray to a higher power, or I'll sit in my bed, because I don't think that my higher power cares where I pray, as long as I'm praying to him. That's enough on that.
Thank you for having me.